Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day of life that you've given us. Help us not to squander the opportunities that you have set before us this day. As we open the Word of God, Lord, how precious it is. I pray that you would help it to just become alive to us this morning. Thank you so much for salvation. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the knowledge to know that we have a home in heaven and a Savior there waiting for us, but that as we're here in this life, He's still taking care of us. Guide and direct now in this service. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Exodus 13 today. Exodus chapter 13. It's amazing how the Lord's timetable works. When you start seeing how He puts things together, tonight's the Lord's Supper. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, a memorial that we come together to remember what Christ has done for us. And this Sunday school lesson, it just falls in line. We've been on this for numbers of months now. And here we are in chapter 13. And the Bible says in verse 3, remember this day. Remember this day. The children of Israel were supposed to remember what the Lord had done for them. Supposed to remember the Passover feast. Supposed to remember the sacrifice of the lamb. Supposed to remember the deliverance of the firstborn child. And here we have in chapter 13 a connection between the deliverance of God's people out of the land of Egypt and the dedication of the firstborn and the feast of the unleavened bread. And to do this, remember this day. Remember this day. So it begins in chapter 13 of the book of Exodus in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, we always want to make sure that we know these are God's words, not Moses' words. God is speaking to Moses as His servant. Moses then takes the Word of God to the people. It says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. Notice those last three words of verse 2. It is mine. The firstborn is the Lord's. And why would that be? Well, the firstborn in the land of Egypt, that the families, they obeyed and followed the commandments of the Lord and sacrificed the substitute lamb and applied the blood properly on the door, God delivered that firstborn child. They were redeemed by the blood of the lamb. And so those that are redeemed by the blood belong to the Redeemer. And of course we, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've had the blood applied to your heart today. And that blood that's been applied, we have been set apart, sanctified by the Lord because of His sacrifice. And because of His sacrifice, we are now redeemed. And those that are redeemed belong to the Redeemer. And who is our Redeemer but Jesus Christ? Amen. So as we begin today, looking at verse 2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Notice, if we took this in context, you have to notice that they have left the land of Goshen, but they're still in the land of Egypt. They haven't crossed the Red Sea yet. They have not been delivered through the Red Sea when this is given. So they're still in the land of Egypt. But God is giving them instructions for their walk with Him. And they were to remember to do this when they get in the promised land. And I'll show you that in just a moment. You know, someone has said, if God acts in grace toward His people, and we know He has, if God acts in grace toward His people, He thereby establishes claims upon them. Remember the verse in the Bible, we are bought with a price. We are not our own. We have been redeemed. A redeemed people become the property of the Redeemer. We belong to the Lord today if you're redeemed. Amen. You are not your own. Your life is not your own. Your thoughts and actions and deeds should be the Lord's. Everything that we do in life should be for the Lord because we belong to the Redeemer. for we have been redeemed by the blood. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19 and 20, the Word of God says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" What was this letter? Paul was penning this letter to the church of Corinth, trying to tell those beloved believers that you are not your own. He goes on to say, "For ye are bought with a price." And what a price it was. "Therefore, since you are not your own, since you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This body today has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Has yours? If it has, then you are not your own. And you have been bought with a price that we cannot repay. So therefore, since we are redeemed and we are not our own, we have been bought with a price we can't repay, then we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit because they belong to God. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. This same principle was taught back in verse 2 of Exodus 13, where it says, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, from man or beast." God says, "It's mine." The firstborn, this reference is referring to the firstborn of the children of Israel that obeyed God, who have been redeemed from the death judgment which fell upon all the land of Egypt. And we've seen that in the previous weeks, where it was all in the land of Egypt. And how now the Lord claims these for Himself, these firstborn. You know, this sanctifying, this setting apart, it's a practice of separation. It's a practice of holiness. It's a practice of devotion toward God. Remembering that we have been bought with a price we cannot pay for, and that we are not our own. This body, this spirit is God's. In Romans chapter 12, most of us know this verse by memory. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," remember this is Paul penning a letter to the church at Rome, to believers, those that had been redeemed. And he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We can't repay what God has done for us. There's no way. We could try for all of eternity and we'll never repay what God has done for us. But it is our reasonable service to try to give God this living body. It's a living sacrifice back to Him and say, "Use this body, use this spirit for your glory." You know, personal devotion to God is the first thing which God has a right to look for from the blood of the people He bought. If we're bought with a price by the blood of the Lamb, then the first thing the Lord has ability to look for in His people that He has redeemed is devotion. Why aren't the pews full in fundamental churches today? Because people have not seen the need for devotion to the Savior. Why have many of us know of people that used to be so faithful to church? Every time the doors were open, they were here. And why aren't they here now? Have they lost that devotion? Have they lost that desire for holiness, that desire to obey the Lord? Maybe it's health needs, and the Lord understands that. But if it's just a free will choice to not come, when they have the ability to come, then they have said, "This body is mine, and I'm going to do with it as I will, not how God wills." That's not a biblical principle. That's sin. You know, it says as we continue reading, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. It wasn't their strength, it wasn't Moses' strength, it was the Lord's strength that brought them out. Brought you out from this place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. Now, if we look back at chapter 11 and chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, we realize that they were to eat unleavened bread at the Passover feast. And then for the next 7 days, they were to eat unleavened bread. That leaven in the bread, it was not even supposed to be leaven found in the home, in their quarters. Leaven represents sin. So when it says sanctify, not only the firstborn, you're to sanctify your home, for you're to be taking out the sin in your home, the evilness, the worldliness. You're to be removing it from your quarters. That's separation. Of course, today we're surrounded by sin. But we are still to attempt to remove it, to sanctify ourselves and our homes and our quarters and our families. This day came ye out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And we've seen that in previous weeks, how he promised this land to Abraham in the covenant that it went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. He has promised this and he keeps his promises. A land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. When they come into the land, you are to keep this service. You are to remember this day. As I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, you are to sanctify your firstborn, and you are to remember this day with the Passover feast. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. A sanctification of the home. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. It's a remembrance of what the Lord has done. This days of unleavened bread speak of a principle. The principle of putting away the leaven was a practice and a type of separating oneself from the practices of sin and of worldliness, a setting apart to the things of God. You set aside the things of the world, the things of sin, and you set yourself to the things of God. That's sanctification, separation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 7 and 8, the Word of God says, purge out therefore the old leaven. We are to purge it out. We are to get rid of it in our lives, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. What feast? The feast of the unleavened bread. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. How many today could say, I'm living a life of sincerity and a life of truth? We could look at our nation and see that our nation is not doing that. And it's not because the nation has turned from God, for the nation doesn't know God. It's because Christians have left a godly life and are walking not separated from the world or unto God. They are not walking in a life of sincerity and of truth. You know, when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt to destroy all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, Israel's firstborn escaped the death by a divinely appointed substitute. Just as we today can escape the judgment of God by the divinely appointed sacrifice, substitute of Jesus Christ. They were saved by the blood of an innocent lamb. It was only by the grace and mercy of God that they were saved. There was no room in the land of Egypt for boasting in those Israelite homes, those Hebrew homes. There was no room for boasting that they had survived the night because of any merit or worthiness that they had. It was only by the blood of the Lamb. And they are to remember this day as God is showing them, you have been bought with a price. As we continue reading, so much is in this chapter. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, verse 9, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers. You know, when Jesus' earthly ministry is taking place, Jesus kept the Passover. He was raised a Hebrew. He was raised in the law. It says, and he kept all the law. He was born unto law, under the law. And so Jesus kept the Passover. But then, at the Last Supper, he changed the Passover feast. For he was now going to be the sacrifice lamb. He was now going to be the innocent Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world because of his sacrifice. And he tells his disciples, as you do this in remembrance of me. Remember this day. Let's look back at verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, and of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. And go to verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that open the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. This is an ordinance of redemption and dedication to the Lord. And it would take effect when the children of Israel were in the promised land. They were to keep this. And later, Moses explains in detail from what God has given him the instructions to follow this. There's found in the 12th chapter of the book of Leviticus, as well as in Numbers 18. Let me read with you a passage in Numbers. Numbers 18 and verse 14. The Word of God says, everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or a beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem. The firstborn of man had to be redeemed. And how can they be redeemed? By the blood of the Lamb. So the man, the firstborn of man, had to be redeemed by the blood. And the firstling of unclean beast shalt thou redeem. The unclean beast, the firstborn of the unclean beast, all had to be redeemed. And how could they be redeemed? But by the blood of the Lamb. So what it's the principle here showing is the firstborn of man and the firstborn of the unclean beast, they're the same. They both need to be redeemed by the blood. I'm going somewhere. Hold on. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerars. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. Now, why didn't these animals have to be redeemed? For they were considered clean animals. These were animals that were sacrificed. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar. So they didn't need someone to redeem them, for they were already clean. They were going to be the sacrifice. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast, as the right shoulder of thine, as the heave offering of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by the statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, unto thee and to thy seed forever. Unto thee and to thy seed with thee. It's a covenant forever that God has given to the children of Israel. It's an ordinance of redemption. Who had to be redeemed and how they were to be redeemed. We go back and look at the whole chapter of the chapter 12 of the book of Leviticus. It even outlines it even more. In chapter 13 again of book of Exodus in verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for which a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. He wants them to remember what hath taken place. It was God that brought them out of bondage. It was God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was God who redeemed them. It is God who brought us out of the bondage of sin. It was God who brought us out of the worldliness into a life that we can live and glorify God. It was God's plan that redeemed us. In verse 13, the Word of God says, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Man and the unclean beast are on the same level. They both need to be redeemed by God. Now, I'm not saying that animals can be saved. It is a process of sanctification, setting it apart, that firstborn of the beast. If we go back and look a little bit at verse 13. Of every firstling, every firstborn of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. It's an unclean animal. It's a working animal. It's a beast of burden. It's an animal that is stubborn. It is an animal that is hard-headed. It's an animal that does things by its own strength. The verse goes on to say, all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. It's just like the unclean ass. We are stubborn before we're saved. Probably after we're saved, we are too. We're stubborn. We are trying to do things in our own strength. We are trying to get to some heavenly area or divine area that we don't understand on our own strength and merit. It can't be done. It must be redeemed by the Lamb. You know, the ass was an important animal for the Israelites. It was a working animal. But if that firstborn was not redeemed by a lamb, then its neck was to be broken. It was to be destroyed. For God, remember, back in verse 2, it says, it is mine. It belongs to God. Just as the Israelites would most certainly have been smitten by the death angel as it passed through the land of Egypt, unless they had been delivered by the slain blood of the Lamb, they too would have been destroyed with all those in the land of Egypt, the firstborn. God is comparing the natural man with the unclean beast. There are only two classes, clean and unclean, holy and unholy. We saw that back in Numbers. You're either clean or you're not clean. You're either holy or not holy, where none of us are cows, none of us are goats, none of us are lambs. So we, as natural man, are unclean and need a Savior. Parents would bring, in Leviticus, parents would bring their firstborn sons to the Lord and offer the appropriate sacrifice. And that goes back to Leviticus chapter 12. There was an appropriate sacrifice that must be given for that firstborn child, namely a male. Hold your place and go to Luke chapter 2. If you know your Bible, you know where I'm going. Luke chapter 2, Jesus Christ has just been born. Now, that wasn't the beginning of Jesus Christ. This was Him coming to take on the form of man. He is everlasting and everlasting. He is God Almighty. He was there in the beginning of all with God. Well, God has no beginning. He was there. The Bible says God is. I am. You go to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, that's Leviticus 12, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that was the offering of the poor. If you couldn't afford a lamb, you could bring this offering. And that's what Mary and Joseph brought to the temple. They were bringing the offering of redemption for their firstborn son, for Mary's firstborn son. This offering of redemption she was bringing, Jesus didn't need to be redeemed, for He was the Redeemer. But she lived according to the law. And Jesus fulfilled all the law. And this had to take place. How marvelous the grace of God which provided a Redeemer. How marvelous the grace of God that He provided redemption for an unclean beast by the blood of a lamb. How marvelous the grace of God that He would provide redemption for us, natural man, unclean, unholy, unrighteous, by the blood of the lamb. And it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the blood of the Lamb. That's how we are redeemed, by the blood of Christ. Christ was the Lamb, the clean, spotless, innocent Lamb. We were unclean. And He took our place on the cross. He was made sin for us. Someone has said, the clean took for a time the place of the unclean in order that the unclean might reside forever in the place with the clean. What a blessed statement. The clean took for a time the place of the unclean. Jesus took our place on the cross when He didn't deserve it in order that the unclean, us, might reside forever in the place with the clean, with Him. By nature, we are represented by this loathsome figure of an unclean ass. By grace, we are represented by the risen and glorified Christ. This should lay man's glory in the dust. Any glory that we might try to have, any righteousness that we might try to have on our own, it should just lay in the dust as we magnify the riches of God's redeeming love. It should silence all of man's empty boastings and put into his mouth a hymn of praise to God and the Lamb, which should resound throughout the courts of heaven forever and forever and forever, because we can never repay the debt that we owe. We are not only ransomed from the power of death and the grave, but also established as children of God to serve, to worship, and to praise His holy name. We're bought with a price. We are not our own. This body, this spirit is God's. For we have been redeemed, as 1 Peter 1:19 says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank God for the Lamb who provided the redemption for this unclean beast. Lord, we can't repay You. These lips of clay can try to praise You and to thank You, but they fall so short. We owe a debt we'll never, ever be able to repay. The angels of heaven, the Bible teaches, look down on man's salvation with curiosity and wondering why not all man might be saved. Why would they choose not to be? We are all unclean beasts. We're no better than the unclean ass. There's no praise or boasting or righteousness of our own. It's all because of You. I pray that You'd help us to apply that truth to our lives today. Bless the next hour. Bless our pastor. Help him. Strengthen him. Give him the words. Give him the filling of the Holy Spirit of God that he might proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." We love You today, Lord. And again, with these humble lips, we thank You for our salvation. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.